More Americans are saying they don't want to work into their late 60s. New data from the New York Federal Reserve shows just over half of respondents expect to work past the age of 62. That's the lowest that number's been since the survey started 7 years ago. But our next guest says there are big questions to answer about your life and your finances before you opt for an earlier retirement. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What age do you want to retire at? What age do you think you're going to retire at? Have you retired recently? How did it go? What kind of planning went into your decision? Has the pandemic changed your thinking, your timeline about retirement? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carrie Hannon is a work, entrepreneurship, and personal finance expert. She's the author of several books on retirement and finding new careers later in life, including In Control at 50 Plus, How to Succeed in the New World of Work. Carrie, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
On an individual level, I could see a lot of different things driving people to at least think about retiring earlier. Sometimes it could be good news. Sometimes it could be bad news. What are you looking at when you look at numbers like this?
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting survey that's come out with these numbers. I think it's important to look at the language here, though. They're saying expected likelihood of retiring, you know, earlier than they expected. So it's their expectations. And I'm not sure what age the people they surveyed for this were exactly. But we do know, Rob, that during the pandemic, a lot of us, over 50 folks, have had a lot of time, and across all the age ranges, really, to think about what this is all about. What we got to do some soul searching about our priorities and what role work plays in our life. And, you know, all these coming together about, you know, being valued in the work we do. And so older workers who lost a job during the pandemic for a layoff or were offered an early retirement package, it's really, you know, if you were laid off, it's a tough slog to get back into the job market when you're in this age category. And sometimes those early retirement packages just were very tempting. So I clearly see that happening, but I want to say the numbers, I look at them with a bit of caution. Mm-hmm.
You also worry about them. You've written recently that people who are moving up their retirement timelines for whatever reason may be thinking a little too optimistically about what their finances are going to look like in the decades after retirement. What are some of your biggest worries?
Without question, I'm terrified about, you know, elder poverty. And I'm not, you know, I think a lot of people have done very well with their retirement accounts, with the stock market being quite heady these days. But the fact is, there are a lot of Americans who have not saved adequately for retirement. And especially if we're living longer lives and healthier lives, presumably. So you really have to consider, you know, the decades. If you're stepping out of the workplace in your early 60s and your life expectancy might be close to 90, let's get real. Can you finance that period of time? And Rob, we've talked about this too. Health care is going to be your number one expense in retirement. And, you know, you have housing, transportation, of course, but healthcare, oh my goodness. It's like a crystal ball. Who knows? But the number I've seen from Fidelity, which sort of runs this every year, is that an average retired couple age 65 this year would need about $300,000 saved after tax to cover healthcare expenses in retirement.
We heard from Curtis on Facebook who says, I would love to retire now and I could, except for this little thing called healthcare insurance. What can we plan? I mean, are there things we could do apart from just, you know, straight up saving more money? Are there things we can do specifically to address that cost, the uncertain cost of healthcare after retirement?
I know it's really tricky. I mean, I like the idea of health savings accounts, which you could probably do a whole show talking about how those work, people saving in those, because that allows you to have an investment vehicle that you can pull throughout the years. It can keep compounding and growing for you and use for your medical expenses. And that's a good thing. So I would encourage your listeners to look into those. But it's really, you know, trying to live a healthy life the best you can. I mean, some of this is genetics, but anything you can do to stay fit, eat with an eye on nutrition, to keep your own healthcare costs down is critical. But you know, we're looking at Medicare, which is so hard for people to understand. Even, you know, people assume it's going to cover all your healthcare costs in retirement, but it doesn't. So, you know, it's really something you need to do your research. And I encourage people to talk to a financial advisor if they can, before they step away from the workplace, to really understand what they have, and how, what they have to live on in the decades ahead. And I do think a full stop retirement might not be the best solution.
Talking to Carrie Hannon, a work, entrepreneurship, and personal finance expert, author of many books looking at retirement in the United States. People, according to Federal Reserve surveys, saying they're planning to retire earlier, maybe earlier in their 60s instead of late 60s, for example. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a target year? Did it already pass? Are you retired? Have you delayed or moved up your retirement timeline? Are you worried about the finances of your post-retirement life? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carrie, you just mentioned retirement full stop. You wrote recently that people may be too optimistic about their work plans in retirement. A lot of people think, hey, it's cool, I'll work some, and that's going to pay for some of my needs. And sometimes it's easier said than done. Why is that?
I think it's true, but I think it's also a very good objective. If you can continue to work for pay in some fashion, it does provide a bit of a safety net for you. Now, again, this takes it. You can't just glide into doing this. You're more than likely, things are changing so quickly, Rob, that in the workplace that you need to stay up. Your skills have to remain sharp. You have to stay up to speed with, you know, lifelong learning. You can't just think that the skills you have right now are going to keep you into a retirement job. So it takes a lot of forward thinking and keeping your network alive and going out there. There are opportunities I think it's quite possible to do, and I hope that people can do it, because I do see a rise in contract work. So this wouldn't be working for a full-time for an employer, but doing working for projects, you know, for 6 weeks, for 6 months, whatever it might be. Employers love that because they don't have to pay your benefits and you get the opportunity to continue to earn somewhat. But again, you can't just glide into that. You have to take the responsibility to make sure you're still marketable.
We heard from Gerald on Facebook, who writes, I want to retire now. As it stands, I don't see me ever having the financial freedom to do so at any age. And Gerald says, it's an awful feeling. Now, we don't have Gerald's financials in front of us, but for that person who's, you know, within maybe 10 years of retirement age and feels like they just don't have things saved up, what are some basic starting points you would suggest people try to tackle?
Yeah, it's really true. It's a very serious situation. Mm-hmm. I think that people in general, you do feel trapped, and the financial piece of that is key. One thing is, if there's any way you can streamline, you know, continue to save as best you can and socking away emergency funds, and if there's ways to downsize your lifestyle, start. These things don't happen overnight, but if you can find, you know, look at where it might be a lower cost of living for you to be. Can you downsize to a smaller home and maybe, if you have a mortgage, be able to pay that down, and then you don't have that burden above you? Any way you can do a budget, it's simple steps will get you there, but you need to start by doing that budget. And where can you get lean and mean? This is an exercise most of us don't like to do, but it sounds simplistic, but it can really reveal ways to bump up your savings and your lifestyle. But again, if you can find a way to fall in love with the work you're doing so that you don't feel trapped, I honestly believe that's going to be, you know, work is not necessarily all about money, and it shouldn't be. You should be working because you get the mental stimulation from that, the stimulation from the people you work with. It's actually very healthy for us to have that network and that socialization from working. So again, try to find ways around the edges to make it work for you.
We're talking to Carrie Hannon, author of several books about work and personal finance, contributor to outlets like the New York Times and Market Watch, looking at retirement. A lot of Americans say they would like to, or feel like they're better off if they can retire earlier. A lot of challenges, of course, financial and logistical. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and maybe your experiences. Are you planning to retire soon, or have you recently retired yourself? If so, what has the process been like for you? Did you feel like you did a lot of financial planning and were ready, or was it kind of chaotic and you're not sure how the money's going to work out in the long run? Are there things you wish you knew beforehand if you've retired that you'd suggest to maybe that next generation on its way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We pick up our conversation now about why more Americans are saying they want to retire early and how you can make sure you're financially prepared for retirement whenever it may happen. Carrie Hannon stays with us. She's written multiple books about working later in life and about retirement. And you can join in with your experiences, your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go to your calls now. Anne is with us in Madison. Anne, hello.
Hi. I've been listening, and in 2011, I was disabled from a medical procedure. I carried other diseases, but I was a full-time worker with a master's degree plus some planning for retirement when at 44, everything was taken out from under me and I was forced to retire due to medical issues. So I'm wondering if you could talk a bit about that, because I had hoped, you know, the way that I was lining up my life with a master's and with, you know, doing lane changes in education, that I would have a retirement plan, but I didn't get to plan it. I'm subsisting on Medicare and you know, remarried and have some medical insurance. But even my husband is saying, well, I must have to work until, you know, he's planning to work much later because of my disability. How can you speak to that, to those of us who might have been forced into retirement through conditions that are way beyond our, you know, our control?
And sorry to hear about your experience. Best to you and your spouse. Carry your thoughts. Sometimes for all the planning in the world, sometimes things are beyond our control.
Without question. And I wonder, Anne, if in today's workplace shift through the last year or so, remote work has become really something that employers are getting. You know, they're realizing that the sort of the genie's out of the bottle. And I wonder, I'm not sure what your health is like today, but whether the sort of the idea that we can work remotely, whether that does open work possibilities for you moving forward, if employers, if that takes away the hurdle of having to go into an office or so forth, whether that might create some job opportunities for you, if in fact that would be a possibility. I just think more and more employers moving forward, remote work is here to stay across industries, across job categories.
Thanks a lot for the call, Anne, and best to you. We'll go to Paula now in St. Croix Falls. Paula, hello.
Yes, hello.
Hi, go ahead,
yes,
Paula.
Okay, I'm calling. I know there's a lot of job openings currently in Wisconsin and other states, but a perfect solution would be to get the retired people that are, you know, receiving Social Security and a pension. That would be great. But there's an obstacle when you're receiving Social Security and you have to calculate your earnings into your monthly payments. And sometimes people find that it isn't worthwhile for them to go out and work. And I often think about that, you know, that's an obstacle that a lot of people just don't want to deal with.
Paula, thanks for the call. I don't know how this works. How could Social Security and part-time work, Carrie, interfere with each other?
Yeah, the thing is, you don't actually lose that Social Security. They reduce your benefit while you're working. There is an earnings limit. I think for, you know, before they start withholding from your Social Security, but after you do get that amount back, and I can give you the exact details on that. So it's not that you're losing it. It's an equation. I agree. It is a little complicated without question, but it is possible to continue to work and still get your Social Security as well. And there is sort of the cutoff age, I think, is maybe it's sort of when you, once you reach your full retirement age, then that earnings limit, you're in much better shape there. There's no benefit reduction then.
Thanks a lot for that call, Paul. I hope that helps. We're talking to Carrie Hannon about retirement earlier than planned for whatever reason. You could join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Carrie, before we go back to callers, we've been focusing on kind of what individuals can do. You've written recently about how our retirement investments work and a lack of flexibility sometime in how they work. What kind of changes would you like to see that makes this work better for people after they retire?
Well, you know, in terms of retirement benefits, I mean, I think it'd be really important to make it easier for people to, you know, continue to set aside funds, even if you're not working for an employer that offers a retirement plan. So if there's a way that so many of us actually don't have an employer retirement plan, if you work for a small business or you are a business owner yourself. So that's something. And it might, you know, not having to take that minimum distribution would be wonderful. I think it's so that you could push it back a little bit further. And there are other ways. But to me, I find it's confusing that no one really, it's hard to find individuals or advisors that can give you advice on how to draw down your retirement accounts. Everyone's very good at telling you how to save for retirement, but how to, you know, deaccumulate is often very confusing about which accounts that you should draw from and that sort of thing.
For people earlier in their careers, Carrie, what do you recommend they start doing maybe early on, maybe before retirement is even a word they use on a regular basis?
I know. That's the thing. It's so hard to have it on your radar. I think we all remember being in our 20s. And I mean, I personally cashed out a retirement account because I thought, what the heck? It's years from now. You know, and if I think about it now, what it would be worth, it's really quite startling. I tell young people, you know, be sure, even if you don't have a retirement plan where you're working, open a Roth IRA. It's a great way to start saving money. You don't get the tax deferral, but you do get when you withdraw it in the future, you don't pay tax on it. It is a wonderful retirement investment vehicle, especially when you're young to get started. And also start automatically having funds taken from your paychecks to go into an account that's set aside for your retirement. So again, if you don't have a retirement plan in your workplace that does that for you, have some discipline and do it yourself, because I know many workers in their 20s, like workers, older workers, are working on contracts. They're contract workers. That's what, you know, sort of a lot of it's the workforce is shifting in that direction. And so it's up to you to make that automatic savings for retirement. And it's out of sight, out of mind. If it never hits your bank account and you have it automatically taken, it's much easier to get that discipline.
Let's bring on another caller now. Michael is with us in Milwaukee. Michael, hi.
Hi. Hey, I'm like your other caller. I had to take a early retirement because of a disability. So I did do like what your advice said. I'm working part-time. I'm working part-time from home and then in the office a day or two, so I'm able to get by. But my question is, I haven't been able to make those investment incomes like other people have because I lost some money in the market years back and was afraid. What would be the best way to take the money I'm investing now or I'm saving now and some of that nest egg I do have, where might be a good place to put that right now with the Dow at 35K?
Interesting question, wow. Michael. What do you think, Carrie?
That's a toughie. You know, you hate to give, hand out investment advice.
Penny stocks. No, wait, don't do that.
I mean, I'm a big fan of index mutual funds, and I feel like no matter where the market is, having the safety of the ballast of having a basket of stocks is usually a good way to go.
Michael, thanks for the call. I want to take a minute, Carrie. Something an earlier caller said made me think you've thought a lot about older people in the workplace, pre-retirement, post-retirement. There's a lot of jobs out there, maybe a lot of seniors thinking I could use a little more money during retirement. Can you leave us with a minute of advice for that person who was out of the workforce, but maybe wants to dip their toes back in?
You know, frankly, Rob, I'm seeing that. I even in the last year, the people who lost a job or stepped away with an early retirement package have taken a breather and said, okay, I'm going to go at this again. One thing be aware, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but ageism is alive and well in the workplace. Okay. It is a fact. And so you do have that to go up against, but there are ways to combat it. Look for companies. AARP has a great list of companies that have signed a pledge to value older workers, to hire older workers. They're out there. Look for those kinds of companies that show that they're doing that. And again, it's your network that's going to help you find a job. Employers hire people they know or people they know. It's the old way of doing it. So sending resumes blindly might not be your best tactic, but keep your skills sharp. If you want to keep working, you've got to have something to sell.
Carrie, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us again today.
Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you so much, Rob.
That's Carrie Hannon, work, entrepreneurship, and personal finance expert. She's the author of a bunch of books about retirement and about finding a new career later in life. She was with us today to talk about early retirement and how to make sure you're financially ready whenever you decide you're ready to retire.